for me to think I have to punish myself, beat myself up and take on this shame and believe I'm just never gonna be better. I'm beyond hope. That's missing the mark. That's not seeing grace for what it really is.
There's a way that we can surrender and partner with the Lord, or we can kind of isolate and shrink in a sense and just kind of plod through life in a pretty miserable and stuck way.
One of my mentors years ago told me the healthiest way to live life as a Christian is with your hands out like this.
Yes,
God, whatever
yes.
you want to put into this hand, whatever you want to take away,
yep.
I'm going to be good with it.
In order for you to be where you're at, you can't clench onto an idea of how God is supposed to be and what he was supposed to do for you. And of course, I'm sure that you wrestled and do maybe wrestle with that some. You've been open-handed. Wrestling, yes, of course, but open-handed about, no, God is God. I don't fully understand, but I'm going to work to align myself, to bring myself under who he is and know and fully believe that he is good. And my loss doesn't diminish his goodness in any way.
Well, part of this we talk about is community. God designed us to find healing within community and also be a part of that for other people too.
He's the root, he's the base, and we get to be grafted in. We're not planted on our own. You know, we are in him or we're not in him at all.
Waiting with God is actually preparing for what he is strengthening you to do in the next season. Strength can be many things, but ultimately what God is trying to do is change our mind.
I wish that someone had talked to me about that when I was young and I could start to recognize, oh, there's value. This isn't just a miserable experience, but there's actually value in that suffering and choosing to deny the flesh and say yes to the things that God calls me to.
Welcome to the Love and Truth Network podcast, your guide for hope and healing in a hurting world searching for truth. Here we explore God's extraordinary design for biblical sexuality, identity, and authentic community. You'll be impacted by incredible stories of transformation, practical wisdom from pastors and counselors, and the power of God's grace that changes lives.
He's like, Kyle, I see growth. You came so far. Like, yeah, you know, sin has consequences. You guys didn't get everything right. You got a lot of things right though too. And I'm pleased with both. I believe she was welcomed into heaven with good and faith. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Right.
And the most important thing is she said yes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who believes in Jesus, we're going to see her again. She's got great stories to tell. I'm going to keep living more great stories that I'll get to tell and cast all these crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, Kyle, as you're sharing, you know, for those that are watching, especially like they can see you, they can see the evidence of joy merged with sorrow, right? They can see your peace in Christ, your faith and what God has done, you know, in your life. And I'm sure that there are people who are confounded by what you're sharing, and they've gone through the loss of loved ones. They've gone through massive disappointments. They've gone through divorce. They've gone through pain and sorrow that they never wanted, the loss of a child, you know, that the loss of a parent, whatever. I mean, they've gone through so much loss. And I want to go back to where you talked about even forgiving this, the original woman that you thought that one day you might marry, and the reality of the bitterness having lodged and had started to grow, right? And I guess that's one of the things that I would love for you to speak to as we kind of come to a bit of a wrap up. I want to talk about one of the projects that you've been working with us on. I mean, for us as a ministry, the Lord, and maybe we'll just continue and make this a two-parter, but as I feel like the Lord bringing you to us, he's done that with you, like he's done every single person who is either a contractor for us or is actually an employee on staff. I just feel like he brings at the right time, and it's not my time. Like, I'm like, Lord, I feel like we're a little behind schedule here, you know? And he brings people and just drops them into the ministry. And it's like, they have an expertise. They have a heart for what we're doing. And I feel like when you came on board, I mean, and I felt this ever since, I feel like we've won the lottery, you know, in a very worldly, you know, perspective or whatever. But we're so grateful for the skill set that God has given to you, but not just the skill set. Obviously, what's evidence of what you're sharing today is also the depth of growth and transformation and a trust and faith in God that goes completely against the world's perspective. Like, you know, the idea that you can still feel joy in the midst of the crushing disappointment that hits you every day. I mean, it's only been since, as you said, October 18th that Chioma stepped into heaven, you know, and you've been working on this documentary. And so the two things I want to kind of make sure we don't lose sight of, and there's probably some others too, is how would you, for the person who just is confounded and would love to quote unquote be where you're at, but first of all, where you're at is not without great sorrow and without great suffering that continues. But to be able to find the joy and the faith, basically the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians, how would you encourage someone who just feels so stuck in their bitterness or their grief, and all disappointment with God, anger with God, mistrust of God, mistrust of others? This, you already said it earlier, but what you're going through also connects in many ways to and the way you've handled it connects not just to the loss of a loved one through death, but also even to the battle of just the flesh and the spirit, whether that's a sexual battle that you've talked about openly, but also any other battle we're wrestling with. There's a way that we can surrender and partner with the Lord, or we can kind of isolate and shrink in a sense and just kind of plod through life in a pretty miserable and stuck way. What would you speak to the person who's feeling some of that what I just described?
Yeah. The message that the joy-filled message of hope that God has in Scripture is true. It's not, hey, you need to go try harder, use your own strength to perfect yourself. Mm. The book of Galatians was written to you if that's what you're trying, just as much as it was written to me.
Yep.
You foolish Galatians, Paul said. Why do you think now you can perfect yourself in your flesh when it was the Spirit that got you saved? It's the same Spirit that is working to form you into the image of Christ Jesus. We can rest in that. Rest doesn't mean do nothing. The Hebrew word that's used in Scripture, it literally means to weave your life together, entwine, like you're braiding a rope together. When you braid your life together with God, and it's you, God, and the body of Christ, your community, this three-part rope cannot be easily broken, as Proverbs talks about, or Ecclesiastes, I think. It's not a passive thing. It's waiting with God is actually preparing for what he is strengthening you to do in the next season. And strength can be many things, but ultimately what God is trying to do is change our minds. He's renewing our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think is where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, there's this beautiful picture that if you go back to the Old Testament Hebrew, you can see the word shuv, S-H-U-V in English. It's used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. It has a literal meaning of changing your mind, changing your actions. But Hebrew has pictorial meanings. The characters themselves actually tell a story in many cases. And it's one of the characters has fire. Another one is a picture of connection. And then the other one represents God. And it's like burn your old life and connect yourself to God. Throw away the old way of thinking, of believing, of acting. Consider it all dead is how Paul put it. He's using the same drastic language when Jesus said, any part of you causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's so worth it. And so you may not see the sense of guilt and shame that the devil wants you to and beat yourself up over any failure you've had as sin. But Sin just means missing the mark. You're not living up to the standard of perfection that we get the chance to grow in that direction. We're not made righteous by hitting that mark because we never will. Jesus did it for us. And that's the beautiful thing. And then that enables us to start growing in that direction. Like a plant that's grows towards the sunlight, we get to grow towards the Son of God.
Well, literally the language that Paul talks about in Romans of being grafted in, like he did it. He's the root, he's the base, and we get to be grafted in. We're not planted on our own. You know, we are in him, or we're not in him at all.
100%. And the idea that I have to beat myself up over my own sin, I mean, people have taken this to the extreme. The flagellants in early church history, they'd literally whip themselves because, oh, Jesus was whipped, I should whip myself too, to the point of bleeding and sometimes almost bleed to death to make up for their sin. That is so anti-Christ. That's not resting in the finished work of Jesus, receiving the forgiveness that is totally undeserved, unearned, impossible to earn, and letting it transform our minds, transform our hearts. When we believe different, we start to believe what is true. Paul says, whatever is pure, true, lovely, holy, I'm saying them out of order because I don't remember the order. Focus on those things. We start to think about what's true. What did God really say? What did he really create in this universe? It is a beautiful picture that he's made. Even the fact that evil exists is a beautiful thing when you understand why it's there. You don't have love if you don't have choice. And so the potential for evil to happen, and evil's just misusing something good. You're using it the wrong way. The potential for things to be misused is why we have the potential we can even have love at all. God can love us. We can love him. We can love each other. There's no love if we're all robots and have no choice. The whole of the Bible talks about we have a responsibility to choose. On our end, there's things we cannot do, like we talked about earlier. And for me to think I have to punish myself, beat myself up and take on this shame and believe I'm just never going to be better. I'm beyond hope. That's missing the mark. That's not seeing grace for what it really is. When people say it's a scandalous gospel, it is. Like if you're not seeing it for how totally undeserved it is, you're not quite seeing it right yet. Like,
yes,
there's no amount of this that we deserve, and you can't earn it by beating yourself up either. When a father is raising a child, teaching him how to walk, does a good father go kick the kid in the face when they fall over? No, like they celebrate the growth. Okay. Yeah. You fell down, but you're going to get back up again.
Yep.
You're doing so great. You took a step. This is your first step ever. Way to go. He celebrates our growth far more than I think we do. And that perspective really helped me early on. And it's helping me now in this season, especially too, because the first 3 months after I lost my wife, I was beating myself up. I know better than to go back to being suicidal. So it's not an option for me, but man, the pain was far worse than when I actually was suicidal. And if I didn't have Jesus, I know I wouldn't be still around today. I felt like I should have done this. I should have caught the doctor's mistake here. I knew they weren't right about that. You know, just it wasn't all mistakes I made either. There's a lot of things that just didn't go right. And it was almost, I believe it was basically impossible for a human being without the intervention of God giving wisdom to have accurately seen that intense situation that led to her death. Why I should accept the shame from the devil and that it's all my fault. I need to beat myself up and be miserable the rest of my life. That's just not grace. And the Lord's correction was, you didn't quite get it all. Sin has consequences. But I'm actually celebrating growth more than you are. Just receive my forgiveness and let's keep growing. Don't get stuck back here where you never grow anymore.
But you also, Kyle, you also have to have a willingness to not clench onto a particular idea of what God is supposed to look like. And you said it before we even started recording, you said something that I've often said is I often tried to make God a genie in the bottle for me. Like if I could rub the lamp the right way and get my three wishes, that's what God is supposed to. And I wouldn't have thought that at the time. I wouldn't have verbalized it that way at all. But looking back, I'm like, that's exactly what I was doing. I just wanted this benign, all-powerful thing to basically do what I wanted him to do in the way that I wanted and on my timetable or whatever. And one of the things I hear from what you're saying is in order for you to be where you're at, you can't clench onto an idea of how God is supposed to be and what he was supposed to do for you. And of course, I'm sure that you wrestled and do maybe wrestle with that some, but there, what I see, what I hear from you every time we've gotten together and talked and what have you through work and just personal connection is that you've been open-handed wrestling. Yes, of course, but open-handed about, no, God is God. I don't fully understand, but I'm going to work to align myself, to bring myself under who he is and know and fully believe that he is good. And my loss doesn't diminish his goodness in any way.
100%. Yeah. One of my mentors years ago told me that the healthiest way to live life as a Christian is with your hands out like this.
Yes,
God, whatever
yes.
you want to put into this hand, whatever you want to take away, yep. I'm going to be good with it and not try and clinch on to what I want, demand what I want, which, you know, I think we all do inherently as human beings. We have to unlearn that way of thinking and acting
yes.
and start to recognize the great love, joy, peace, hope, all the fruit of the spirit, mm-hmm. all these, even the David in Psalms talked so many times about how God's word gives life to our even mortal bodies. It says in Romans as well,
yep.
Life to our flesh. We get healthier when we stop being full of anxiety. This is measured in secular science, by the way, too. Like,
yes, it seems like science catches up with the Bible over and over and over again, right?
Absolutely. And yes. it's no surprise because we're just learning more about how the creator made things to work.
That's right.
And we'll never fully understand it all, I think, but it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to seek it out. He actually loves when we learn more about how to live in this wonderful world he made. It's messed up, yes, but we still have a mission to accomplish while we're here. And part of that's loving our neighbor and yeah, enjoying this life with the Lord.
Well, as we pivot, I want to talk about the project that you've been doing a lot of projects with us, actually, and getting pulled from one to the other, which, of course, is my fault more than anybody else's. But you have been working on a long-term project, and so is Jeremiah. Honestly, Jeremiah has been so amazing at seeing this project through. And there's been a variety of people involved in this project. I want to talk about that in a second, but I just want to pause again. And for the and just that idea of what you were kind of showing on camera is living our life in an open-handed kind of way. And so often, and I know this was so true of me, and sometimes I find myself back here again and I have to choose to open my hands instead of clenching them on the things that I want, the things I want to hold on to, because it never, that posture never gets us where we want to go. It always leads to some kind of destructive heart condition. When I say heart condition, maybe even physical heart condition, but the yeah. attitude of our heart. And so I just want to encourage the person that's listening that may be confounded by what you're sharing and what this podcast is about today, or not, they might get it. And yet what I would encourage also is just a perspective of are your hands clenched? And maybe you have one hand open and one hand clenched, right? But even that is something that I would just encourage this more of a release in terms of if you're disappointed with God, if you're angry with God, if you no longer trust God, or there's mistrust in your heart toward him, or whatever those things look like. I would just encourage those that are listening to get with a pastor, you know, get with a Christian leader, get with someone, maybe a mentor, a coach, maybe a Christian counselor. And again, I've often said, you have to be careful about what Christian counselor you're getting with, because some actually counsel Christianly and many do not. So wherever you need to go to be able to talk through, pray through, and be able to open up your heart, this open-handed posture, of course, is a reflection of what's going on the inside. That's all that is. It isn't what your hands are doing. It's an expression of what's going on inside of you. And so I would just encourage, we would encourage those listening, watching, maybe you know people as you're listening or watching that might need to hear this this message and you know, encourage them to listen to this and to recognize there is a pathway forward that does lead to life even through the worst tragedy and the worst of circumstances that leads to life in Christ. And it's by restoring your trust in him. It's by, and the beautiful thing about this is that we can choose to do that. We can choose to participate in repenting of our attitudes of bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment against God, whatever, mistrust, and return, come back like the prodigal, back to the Father, because he's looking for you. And the beautiful thing about the prodigal father is he didn't wait for the son to walk through the threshold of his home. He was watching. After all this time, he saw him coming a long way away and he ran to him. So just regardless of where you're at today, we would, whether it's a loss like death in your life, grief, that kind of thing, or it's the reality of I'm still stuck in this addiction. I hate this. These two things are not mutually exclusive. The things we're talking about, grief, loss, this is also the same process, the same kind of thing that we need to engage in with God and with community and with our heart to see freedom and breakthrough. So in saying that, Kyle, you've been working on a project, a video e-course project with us that's a pornography project and helping address that issue. And a bunch of us have kind of been involved in the different teaching and concepts that we're sharing around it. But talk about that process.
Yeah. First of all, Gary, I'm really honored to be a part of that project. I'm so grateful to even be in the place that I am to have the freedom and be able to pass it on. And we even talk about that is part of God's healing work in us, is that he not only wants to bless us, he wants to bless us for the sake of blessing others.
That's right.
About the overflow of our lives. Like Abraham, you blessed to be a blessing to many nations. First to him, God wants to restore us first so we have something to give. In Proverbs it says, work hard so you have something to give to those in need. And it's talking about any type of need. And so really our hope in this project is not only that people find their personal freedom, but that they take that freedom and pass it on to other people. We talk about some really important stuff in this course that I so wish I would have had back when I first, yes, even before I got addicted to pornography. Man, if I only knew that I didn't have to rely on my own strength and white knuckle my way through and just find the right software, find the right book, find the right accountability group, find the right mentor, whatever it was, I needed to just build my own strategy based on human wisdom alone. Human wisdom is valuable and useful in the right context. When you're living in partnership hand in hand with the Lord, it finds its rightful place.
Yes.
And we're commanded to learn wisdom. Godly wisdom includes how to manage things in the natural, in the practical things of life. Jesus even said, the one who is unfaithful with little of their wealth in this corrupt system we live in, that is influenced by the power of the devil from the top down until Jesus returns and fully wipes all that out. We're in this in-between period where if you're unfaithful with little, you'll be unfaithful with much. But if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. And God wants us to multiply all the wealth he's given us and whatever that looks like, not just money, but the gifts we have of wisdom, the gifts we have of talents and abilities, and using it for serving his kingdom instead of just trying to build our own. There's so much joy in that. There's a lot of hardship in that, but there's more to becoming free than just, oh, you know, you can go on with your life and everything's going to be happy and you can just do this all on your own. Part of this we talk about is community. God designed us to find healing within community and also be a part of that for other people too. We need each other in the body of Christ. Yep. You could take a cell out of your body and it's not going to survive very long by That's itself. Right. But in the body, Paul uses this analogy in scripture, those cells fight for each other. They feed each other. They fix each other. And we're just like that as Christians. None of us have the exact same role. We all need to come together the way the head, which is Christ, is telling, just like our brain tells our body how to act. You know, Jesus is leading us with what we need to do as believers. And the better we listen to him, the better we're going to function.
That's right.
And so, you know, there's practical strategies in there. There's a place for having the website blockers, the accountability groups, the learning scripture, memorization of scripture, that changing your mind to understand what God says about you as being yep. true. These things are foundational and critical pieces of the process. But the idea that I have to do this by myself, for myself, and it's all about me is just not how it's going to work. It just doesn't right. work. And so this reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit and coming into understanding if we are a new creation in Christ, what does that really mean? We have this new identity, but what is it? Why is it so important? That's really mm-hmm. at the core of understanding why we even have the power to be free. We're no longer the old person we were. We're actually a brand new person from the Spirit out. We have the same body. We have the same soul for now. We'll get new ones later. That's part of this promise that we receive in eternal life. But you know, in this body that still can be tempted, we have a power that's beyond anything we can ask, think, or imagine, as Paul wrote. Like,
yes,
this power of the Holy Spirit to transform us is real. And how do you tap into that? Well, there's a lot we touch on that I just so wish I would have had. And I'm really excited for how this is going to help people. There's a wealth of wisdom there. We're talking about putting out some of it for free, and then the full wealth of it all. There'll be a paid version of it. You know, it's
also not just guys talking and sharing, but also women. I love the combination of the two, because pornography and sexual sin, of course, are not just dudes' issues. It's a growing issue for women. Even full on pornography, visual pornography, where I think erotica has often been a problem for women and remains so, and sometimes an issue for men. But even the images of pornography are becoming, and video and all that kind of stuff, are becoming more and more of a problem, even for Christian women. And so this is a combination of some guys sharing, as well as a couple of women sharing in this as well. And, you know, the other thing I want to say, I was going to say this earlier, you had mentioned it. I just want to come back to it, because you said something again that triggered the thought, is I just want to encourage people. Sometimes it feels like, and I know for so much of my life, I just felt like, man, I just can't wait till the stinking life is over. I can't wait until, like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to live above the pull of my flesh and just the repetitive pattern of sin and caving and giving into it. And it just felt like this was miserable. Like, God, why don't you just save us and take us home? Well, that, of course, that's not his plan or his purpose. But what I want to encourage people with, and something I encourage myself with now, is when this life is over and we are in heaven, of course, it's going to be glorious. Of course, it's, every tear will be wiped away, all those things. But there is something about living in this life that we have a unique opportunity in. And there's a unique way, I think, that not that God loves us, you already said, like, God fully loves us, but there's a way. And in John 14, it's mentioned at least twice. I think it's referred to again a third time, is that if we love him, we will obey him. And so in this life, we have an opportunity to sacrifice something. Like, the Lord knows that, yes, we are a new creation in him, but we also have a flesh that is constantly, that wants its own way, that wants to take authority over the spiritual man, that wants to agree with the world, that wants to agree with the enemy. We have that battle going on within us that we are not going to have in the next life, thankfully. But in this life, there's an offering and a sacrifice and a way that we get to choose to die to ourselves and agree with him that is a unique kind of expression of love and expression of surrender that we will never have another opportunity to live out. After this life is done, thankfully, again, that battle will be over. But there's something, I know for the longest time, all I saw was the negative side of that. Like, it's just this continual struggle. A friend of mine used to get so sick of the idea of process. It's this constant process. But life can be about so much more than that. But I think when we start to realize, wait a minute, this offering to God, this sacrifice of continually saying no to the flesh, and it does lose its power, not entirely, but it diminishes its power so greatly when we say yes to him and no to the flesh, and we build up the spiritual man or woman, and we reduce the influence of the flesh. But there is a unique offering that if we could look at that in a positive sense, that we get to show our love for God, our obedience to him, which, you know, I've said before, God's love language is obedience. And as we get to, as we do that more and more, we get to show love for him in a way that is unique to something that we will not be able to do in eternity by saying no to our flesh. So that was a long way of kind of saying that, but I wish that someone had talked to me about that when I was young and I could start to recognize, oh, there's value. This isn't just a miserable experience, but there's actually value in that suffering and choosing to deny the flesh and say yes to the things that God calls me to. So in the, yes. in the pornography course that we've been working on, it's not a short course. There's lots of modules. There's lots of teaching of a variety of sort. We've tried to be very comprehensive in our approach to the topics that we're talking about. And also I mentioned this is not just a men's and women's issue. It's also not just a church congregational issue. It's often a huge issue in church leadership, pornography or sexual sin, even with those who are lead pastors or, you know, pastoral teams and things like that. People, men are not immune. I don't care what kind of level you're in leadership or in shepherding and all that. We are not immune to the pull of the flesh. And I think there's a particular kind of attack that is delivered against pastors and missionaries and against those who are serving vocationally, yes. But regardless, those that are in the kingdom, sons and daughters of God, of course, there's a particular attack against them. And sexual sin seems to be a particular way that we tend to try to meet our own needs apart from Christ. So anyway, Kyle, I've loved what you've shared. Is there, and there may be a few other things you want to mention. I don't want to cut you off before we wrap up our time together.
I think we pretty well covered it in terms of the e-course. Really excited for it to get out there. And again, honored to be a part of it.
And of course, when a lot of people listen to our podcast, they will have been listening to the recorded version naturally. That's all we do. We put out recorded versions of it. But when people are listening to this, it's very likely it could be 6 months or a year from the time that we recorded this or further. And the e-course is out there. We also have another e-course called Sexuality in the Church that's been available for quite some time that talks about kind of the broader issues of sexuality and how can the church get equipped to really deal with and address these things in a way that is not just a shame-based kind of finger wagging, but is rather, no, this deeper invitation to come into the light, to walk in the light. And how can we, as pastors and leaders, create environments where people are not feeling, there is an inherent shame with sexual sin and sin in general, but especially sexual sin. And so we don't want to remove, you know, healthy guilt. We don't want to remove some of those negative feelings because they are a natural byproduct of sinning against God. But what we want to do is see those things removed through repentance and surrender and coming into the light. So, Kyle, I love so much what you shared with us, and I'm so grateful again that you are a part of our team and that God has brought you alongside of the Ministry of Love and Truth Network, and of course your service to Him goes far beyond just Love and Truth Network. But we're grateful for you in the time that you and I've known each other, and of course even part of you and I connecting and meeting in the first place, it was through you having a close connection with someone who was experiencing same-sex attraction. And that was really the impetus for you and I getting connected. We weren't even thinking about you doing anything for the ministry or any of that. It was really about just, hey, how can I connect somebody? This is the kind of thing I wish that we'd be thinking of more within the body of Christ. How can I connect this one who's struggling to somebody who can really relate to them, to encourage them and support them? But I'd love for you to speak a little bit maybe about that situation, as well as how you see Love and Truth Network benefiting the church.
Yeah. Well, the way we got connected, Gary, was, I forget what year it was now. I want to say 2021 or 2022. I had two friends that were struggling with same-sex attraction, and I'd been discipling them, sharing the truth of how God wants and has the ability to help them get free from the sin they were falling into, particularly with pornography for one of them. And it's all true, but there was a level of the conversation where it kind of gets stuck on, well, that's not your struggle. You don't struggle with same-sex attraction. You struggle with attraction to women. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. It's the same core misuse of our sexuality. So everything I'm telling you in scripture is just as true for me as it is for you. And yet there's something powerful about hearing other people's testimonies and recognizing, oh, if God did that for them, he could do something like that for me.
Yes.
And I had such a strong sense, if they were to hear from somebody that does struggle with same-sex attraction and has had victory, then I think that would be a really powerful inspiration. I don't know anybody that fits that category. I asked a mutual friend of mine, and he was like, oh, you should talk to Gary Ingram. And I said, great. And so he made the connection. I got to join some of those initial conversations, and it was a great connection. And that ultimately, I think we had to, I had to reschedule or something, one of those,
right,
because I had lost my job where I was an employee as a marketing director. And Gary asked me, well, what do you actually do? I don't really know all of what you do. And I explained that marketing, and I also am a filmmaker and musician, but marketing is my main trade. And I'm not sure what the Lord has for me next, but I kind of think it's still going to be in marketing. And he said, well, I actually need some help with marketing. And the Lord opened up that door for me to come be a part of the Love and Truth Network mission. And I'm so grateful to have done that. I have had such a burden on my heart to help people the way I would have wanted to be helped myself back when,
yes,
I was so stuck in pornography. And doing that on a one-on-one basis is critical. Like, discipleship happens life on life, but there's a need for the word to get out to a lot of people as well. And I didn't have necessarily any influence beyond leading a small group and one-on-one discipleship. And the fact that Gary and Melissa were already pioneers in bringing up some of the really hard issues to talk about of sexual and relational brokenness, and having experienced so much freedom themselves, their testimonies are incredibly inspiring, both of them. And everybody on the team has an inspiring testimony for that matter.
That's right.
And everybody in the body of Christ has an inspiring testimony. There's
right.
No one that's greater than the other. Just because one may have more shock and awe to it doesn't make it better.
That's right.
Our testimony is a powerful witness.
Mm-hmm.
We're commanded in scripture to be ready to give an account for the hope in us at all times, because we're always putting on a show ultimately for the advertising the goodness of God. And we can either be doing a poor job at that or a good job at that.
Yes.
The goal is not to be hypocrites. God wants us to grow into just the joy, the greater sense of joy and peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit that there is something people actually are attracted to about being a Christian, the same way that I was. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance.
Yes.
It wasn't the condemnation. It was, I want what they have. I don't know how they have peace going through that terrible season. I want real love in my life. I can't find it anywhere, but Jesus is the only place I really see it happening in the way that I know it can, you know? And so to give hope where many people have lost hope with sexual and relational brokenness is such a valuable and needed ministry in the body of Christ right now. And, you know, there's ministries out there doing it to some degree, but they've got mixture in there that can be crippling and devastating to somebody that's confused about their identity, that's confused about the nature of their struggles, and that I'm just always going to be this way. This is the best it can be. I'll just take on the label and throw up my hands and settle for this. And, you know, God has one of his names as healer for a reason, because he wants to transform us from the brokenness. That doesn't mean we're going to achieve perfect health and perfect sinless living right now.
Right.
No. Scripture says anybody who says that's a liar. But that's the direction we're called to grow. Jesus gave us the picture of a perfect life, so we grow that direction. And helping each other do that better, helping each other rekindle the hope that we have inherently because of the Holy Spirit in us, but it can get dulled down by, really, it's coming into simply coming to agreement with lies of the enemy to keep us from growing as well. It's so needed. So I'm just really thrilled with what Love and Truth Network is doing and stirring up love and good works in each other, as scripture commands us to do. We're helping bring the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that vision that people need, that there's more that can happen here. There's transformation beyond what maybe I'm thinking. And, you know, I hope and pray that it vastly exceeds anything we could ever ask, think, or imagine, even from our own standpoint of trying to build this out as the Holy Spirit leads us. I know he's fully capable of taking this to reach a lot of places and probably ways we never even could dream up.
Awesome. No, it's so great. And we're just so happy for God to take our brokenness. And 1 Corinthians really talks about this idea that there aren't many noble among you, there aren't many wise, there aren't many by this world standards, but God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wisdom of the world. And honestly, that really is up to him, right? And we're just grateful that he's taken the ash heap of the end result of Gary living his own life and living for himself, and Melissa living for herself, for Kyle living for himself. We're so grateful that God has taken the end result of not just ash heap, but total destruction and even death, and is somehow, when we turn all that over to him, is able to transform that into something that bears witness to the God that he is. Yeah, so Kyle, we're just so grateful that you've taken the time, and not just taken time, but you've given so much more. You've given your heart. You've talked about some clearly deep, deep, painful experiences in your life, and you've been open and vulnerable about those. And so I'm so grateful for you joining us today.
Honored to have been a part. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Love and Truth Network podcast. I hope that both this part one and part two of my conversation with Kyle here has been really encouraging to you. Again, you can go back and listen to an original conversation that Kyle and I had where he talked more about his own testimony and more of his early years and really the wrestling that he went through. And that is in episode 104. So you can go back and listen to that as well. But thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in another episode of the Love and Truth Network podcast. Take care.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us for the Love and Truth Network podcast. We hope that the stories and insights shared have ignited in you a sense of God's powerful love for you and given you encouragement for your own journey toward relational and sexual wholeness. Remember, transformation is absolutely possible when rooted in grace, truth, and authentic biblical community. Subscribe today, share with a friend, share with your pastor, and we look forward to seeing you in our next Love and Truth Network podcast.